Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Dorothy and the Dealer, beers and business.
Yes.
Everybody liked our last business podcast.
Did they?
Yeah. I think they might have liked
because
Mike.
Because I was on there.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think it was because of me. I think they might have liked Mike.
It's the international content of it.
The international.
Canadian. Everybody loves a Canadian. Mm.
Everybody loves an Irishman more than a Canadian. And everybody in Canada
only
thinks they're Irish.
Only nothing if they're like drunk.
When I was in Canada, I'd go into a bar and they'd say, where are you from? I'd go, I'm from Ireland. They'd go, oh, I'm from Ireland. And suddenly they had this Canadian-Irish accent, you know?
Yeah. I've actually been confused from being from... I have had an Irish guy come up to me and go, what part of the motherland are you from? I'm like, from the far north.
Did we ask you your favourite song last time, Mike? Because we're not going to do this every time, but maybe once. We should actually do the tradition that Dorothy and the Dealer is known for.
Mm. I don't
I've just
know
thrown
I've
you in the there. Deep end, haven't I? Do you know any
what's
songs,
a, what's a good
Mike?
Canadian song? Who was a good Canadian band? Oh, they didn't really have any, did they?
The Tragically Hip. Yeah. One that you wouldn't know because it's truly a Canadian
I dare
band.
You to sing some.
Yeah.
From the Tragically Hip.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah.
I've just like, you know, this is what's happened to anybody who can't actually physically see Mike. He's just gone discombobulation.
I thought we were speaking about business right now.
I can hear
immediately
the gears grinding.
You go, you got like Katie Lang. I'm like, no.
Is Katie Lang Canadian? Is she? What does she sing? What is she? You got a funny story about Katie Lang, don't you?
No, we don't all know each other in Canada.
Isn't there only like 80 people there?
No, there's just a wee bit.
And some bears.
I do have a story about Avril Lavigne.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Do.
Yeah, what's
the,
that?
The guys here in the office love my story about Avril
Lavigne. Is it really rude?
Oh, I can tell that they really do.
If it's rude, I want to fucking hear it.
No, I was a bit of a grumbly hockey player when I was growing up, so I got in a lot of trouble going to rinks. Like, I often needed police escorts out of the rink.
Right.
And we're playing in a place called Napanee, and I was playing a bit of a grubby game, and the fans were just going nuts. And there's this, like, little girl, and she was running back and forth, just screaming for murder. She wanted my number. She wanted me not to make it out of the arena.
Right.
I was playing against Avril's cousin. So
oh,
it was actually
really?
Avril Lavigne that was... Back before Skater Boy, before all of it.
Yeah.
I was a Skater Boy. Yeah, this
something.
Podcast is
he was a Skater Boy. Say to you later, boy. There you go.
Alrighty, what are we going to talk about today? Actual business stuff,
head,
huh?
I know. That song's welded in everybody's head.
Yeah, I'm happy to keep discussing Skater Boy.
Just move these up here like that, Mike. Yeah, because otherwise it's going to fall off your head. Yeah.
There.
True professional.
True professional. Okay, so I want to talk about something. Well, we're going to talk about something today about the biggest problem that people say they have in business and then what their actual problem is.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people come along and say that they have a money problem in business, right?
Or a client problem or a sales problem.
A client problem or a sales problem. But when you hear that and when we hear that, we're like, not the case. So do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, look, if you're running a business and you're kind of going like, I have a problem, like I have a marketing problem or I have a tech problem or I have a people problem or your people are like, I have a leadership problem. All of that really is...
That never happens in my organization, just so everybody knows.
We literally did all a podcast about the fact that that did happen, but that's okay. Carry on.
But all of that really is we have a strategy problem. And your strategy is something like that sits a bit higher in your business. Like, and your strategy is concrete. Like, it's a mission that you're going for. And so all of those other things are just tactics in your business.
Mm.
So even like what most people call their business, right? I'll talk to somebody and they go, I go, so what do you do? Like, tell me about your business. And they go, oh, I'm a bookkeeper. And I'm like, no, you're not.
Mm.
You're not a bookkeeper. That might be how you're currently achieving your mission, but you're not a bookkeeper. Or somebody will tell me, I have a marketing problem. I say, tell me what the problem is. And they go, oh, you know, our online ads aren't working as well as they used to. I'm like, that's a tactic. That's not a strategy.
Mm.
Tell me what it is you're trying to do with your marketing. And people kind of, they start off when they get into business, if they truly get into business, meaning they've generated cash flow from what they did.
They just have an idea and decide, I'm going to start a business.
Yeah, like I've got an ABN and I set up my LinkedIn page or something like that. Like assuming they actually made income, they had a point where they were mission focused. briefly.
Yeah.
And then it became more, they fell more in love with how they did it or what they did, and they became more tactical. And the majority of businesses are tactical. You need tactics, but you are not your tactics. It'd be like looking at somebody that kind of pisses you off in your relationship. And let's say what pisses you off about them is they get angry all the time. You go, oh, you're an angry individual. No, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
There's something much greater than that. That's just how they're behaving in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't really define a business by their tactics. So when I say I have a marketing problem, you're saying I have a tactical problem. I'm like, really, what you have is a strategy problem, and you can't reconnect with your strategy, and that therefore you can't find a new way.
So you're focusing on the marketing, and you think because if so, what you're saying is that you're leaning towards one way, and you're trying to fix the marketing to fix the actual overall mission instead.
You think the marketing is going to solve the problem.
What you're trying to do is you're trying to make the past come back, right? The only reason you're saying it's a problem is because in the past this worked. And now this doesn't work. And so I'm trying to make the past come back as opposed to going, I need to move forward.
Well, your proper strategy should be able to see you around. Like I remember years ago, there was a photographer who came to see me and he goes, oh, fuck, I have this terrible, you know, whenever it comes to Christmas time, because I take photographs of kids, school groups. And I'm like, yeah. And he said, whenever it comes to Christmas time, you know, we really, really plummet in our income. And I'm like, right. So he said, I've got to be able to sell more within that 9 month period where we're not on school break. And I'm like, no, that's a tactic. You're thinking if I fucking sell more, I'm going to be able to handle that 3 months. What you need to be doing is you need to have a strategy that says through that time period, you diversify, you know, so that you're able to make you're able to foresee any of those problems. And, you know, should your A plan not be working, then you roll over to your B plan, which is you roll over to your C plan. But you can't do that if you haven't got a strategy, and your strategy has to be focused on your kind of your highest theos, you know, that one thing that is most important that you bring. You know, and so people are like, because I'm a fucking tactic person. You know, I'm the most tactical fucking person I know. Mm. You know, I know how to handle tactics. But I remember in my own organization, there came a point where it was like, okay, Mitch, you know how to do this. You have an amazing product. People really need it. You know how to pitch it. But what's the strategy? You know, how many properties do you want to have? How are you going to diversify the business? How are you going to build on that? You know, and that's what you need to be moving towards all the time. So if A doesn't work, then you move to B. If B doesn't work, you move to C. If C doesn't work, you move back to A. So
it's funny that you mentioned that, because I think that's kind of like people think when I say things like you have to have a mission or you have to have a purpose, they immediately go Google it and they find these really convoluted things that they have to go do. And I'm like, from a very simple perspective, and you can get any business to do this, from a very simple perspective, you go, okay, so somebody comes to your door.
Mm.
That person didn't come to the door to buy what you are. They came to solve an objective. Mm. They might think that a bookkeeper solves an objective, right? They might think that... when you're pouring that, it sounds like you're having a wee.
I was having a wee.
No podcast etiquette at all, Mike.
For all the people listening, have you ever been listening to Joe Rogan?
Have you ever been listening to Joe Rogan?
He thinks he's fucking Joe Rogan.
And he sparks up a blunt, you know, and he's like, and you can hear this crickling, and you know, he's just pulling on a fucking joint.
But do you know what? People can see what he's doing.
Yeah.
People that are listening to us can't see, and they're.
Do you feel better?
I do now that I did that.
There's a visual that's out there right now that people think we're actually joking that you took a wee. There's a visual out there. It's like, wow. And the guy just...
Oh, my God. He just pissed.
He's got like
Crohn's
or something.
Anyway. All right.
So getting back to the point, what you want to do is really kind of think about the person that walked in your door. They're like, they had an objective. Now, the person might think that the bookkeeper is going to solve their objective, but they're not there just to hand money to a bookkeeper. No, they're not there to hand you because you've got a certificate in something, right? They're there because they think you're going to solve a problem for them.
Mm.
And so the first thing that you have to get in business is you're really about solving that problem,
mm-hmm.
right? You're not a digital ad agency. You help businesses make money. Or you help businesses find clients.
Mm-hmm.
And there is millions of ways in which you can do that. And so if you do have a quote unquote marketing problem or a cash flow problem, you got to get back on focus and go, what is it we really do? What is the objective our client has for us?
Yeah.
And are we doing that in the best way possible right now? Because you don't have those things. I often say you don't have a money problem or a client problem. You have a failure to add value problem. You have a failure to help people problem.
Yeah.
And it's not that you don't intend to do those things. Most people do. Most people that are in business that I know do.
Yep.
But then they don't actually, they kind of get off path. They go, oh, I'm going to put more effort into making this thing work. And they forget that I'm actually here to meet this objective. And maybe there's a better way now. Maybe.
But I think
I also feel that people come and buy your skill. Do you know what I mean? They come and buy your self-worth. They come and buy the value that you bring to the world. That's what they're buying. That's what they invest in. It's like, you know, I've often done it in seminars where I'll say, okay, what are you doing? They'll go, I'm a real estate agent. I'm like, no, you're not a fucking real estate agent. What you do is you give people a home. You give them a sense of self. You give them something to keep them safe and warm at night. You give them something. I have this amazing real estate agent, right? And he's a fucking, like, he's just a cheeky bastard. And he works up in Darlington. And Patrick Harper, I'm going to mention his name, Brilliant real estate agent. But when you, like, you don't actually like Pat, you know, you might not actually like, I like Patrick because he's a cheeky fucker. But he gets people very good money for their properties. And he comes in and he calls it as it is. So people buy your tenacity and if you and what value you bring to the world. But if you don't understand what value you bring to the world, if you don't get why they're coming to you, those problems will show up in primitive ways, which is lower mind stuff. I have a money problem. I have a fucking staffing problem. I have when you understand who you are and what you're bringing to the organization and you step into that and you step into what you bring to a client, you value yourself more.
And that's, I think, all businesses that eventually kind of make it over that period. Is there is that breakthrough where they really get that it's not
what period is that
like that 10-year period, that 10-year period that most businesses die in. Mm-hmm. The ones that go beyond that and actually make money, because still a large percentage don't make money. Mm-hmm. The ones that really get big and they stick around, the ones that we all look up to and go, that's the company I want. They go through that breakthrough. You know, Apple, everybody talks about Apple and they look and they go, oh, what a great company. But the truth was Apple was nearly bankrupt in the 90s because they thought they were a computer
numerous
company.
Numerous times, yeah.
It wasn't until they got, you know what? We're actually the company that's going to combine art and technology and we're going to connect people to what they love.
Yeah.
That's the company we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
When they stopped being a computer company, they took over.
Mm-hmm.
And then they became the number one electronics company.
So if we talk about tactics then, right? If we talk about people and companies that are tactical.
Well, I think...
We have to have that. Do you know what I mean? You have to be able to be tactical.
Well, I think we've just got to go back for a second and just be clear that what you're saying is that when somebody has a problem in their business, the real problem is they're trying to use a tactic that they've used that they perceive has worked before and is no longer working. Is that what you're saying? Yes or no?
Yeah, you can hear it in their language, right? When they have that, their first question is, how do I do this?
How do I get more sales?
And it's like when you start with how, you're being tactical.
Right. So it's like I always go out to my customer and I do X, Y, Z. And now I'm going out to my customer doing X, Y, Z and it's not working.
It's not getting the results.
So then the issue isn't the marketing issue. It's the fact that you're trying to use something that worked before it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So that their tactics, when you ask the how question. Right.
Yeah, like if you start,
how do I do this?
You need to ask. So, like, on your point, like the tactics are important. Eventually, tactics are how you make it all work.
Yes.
So, tactics are super important, but you can't start with them.
Yeah.
You got to start with what is it I want to do and why do I want to do it?
Yes.
And then you can figure, and then you got to go, where am I now? Like, honestly, where am I on this journey? And then how?
Right.
Then you can answer.
So,
then you can do
is
how.
That the strategy then? Is
that
where
is
the
strategy?
Because you were talking about having a strategy before. I just want to make sure it's clear. So the tactic is asking the how. The strategy is the part where you ask the why. Why am I here or what am I like? Is that correct?
Partly. So it's where you start to get your strategy. The strategy in itself is just the way in which you organize your tactics to achieve an objective.
Right.
Right. So you have to organize that. You first have to go, like with anything, you have to go, what's my destination? Where am I going with this?
Yeah, you got to put something into the GPS. Otherwise, you don't know where you're actually fucking headed.
And then you got to go, well, why do I want to go?
Right.
Right. And that'll kind of give you the idea of your mission, the end point. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to look at where you are really right now. You can't make it up. You can't live in fantasy world. Where am I right now? And how do I organize my tactics? How do I organize my resources, everything in my business, so that I end up there?
So the strategy encompasses the tactics and everything. The
Absolutely.
Tactic is literally just the how I'm doing this one thing. The strategy encompasses the whole picture, including your mission, so including the destination, including the why you want to get to your destination, including what tactics you need to use in what combination to get to your destination. Is that the answer?
Yeah,
that what you're
absolutely. Okay. So when people get caught in the tactics, they just kind of live moment to moment, right? So when I first came to Australia, like
short-term
all the suburbs
thinking.
Are like built in circles here. And so you know that you're supposed to get over here and you keep going, well, I just got to keep turning right. I got to keep turning right. I got to keep turning right. Before you know it, you're back where you fucking started because everything's a circle here. And you didn't get that you had a destination. You had to keep adjusting your course mm-hmm. as opposed to going, well, right worked for me last time, so I'll just keep turning right, keep mm-hmm. turning right. Mm-hmm. And then people get frustrated because they keep essentially turning right and they end up far off where they were meant to be mm-hmm. and they end up really emotional. Mm-hmm. Because when you start and you got nothing to lose, there's nothing to be emotional about. But if you had $1 million business and your tactics start to fail you, and they will, then you become
They're
emotional.
They're bound to.
And you cling. Actually, there is a metaphor.
I had a mate of mine, Sean, who could only turn left in his car.
Oh my God.
You're making that up.
I fucking thought about it. He could not turn right in his car. He could only turn left. So whenever he went anywhere, he could only turn left to get there. That's gospel. But just, can I just say something before you use that metaphor? We used to call him Lefty.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in having a strategy, the way I see strategy is that your tactics are a tool to help
implement
the strategy and stay on tack with the strategy, but also to protect the outcome of the strategy.
Absolutely.
And so people don't ask them, they get into business not asking themselves that question, what is the fucking outcome? And if you don't understand the outcome, what do you want to feel inside when you get there? If you don't understand what that is and you don't have, and it's not with you all the time, meaning it's not in the forefront of your mind all the time because sometimes you're super tactical, but you still need to know where that is and ultimately what that is getting you to feel when you, because you have to have certain, stops along the way that let you know, okay, I've got to this feeling, I've got there, I know that my tactics are working, I've got there, I know that my tactics are working. Yeah. So your strategy has to have points along the way that allow you to feel as if you're accomplishing stuff.
Absolutely.
And I'll add
to that, that when I'm talking to somebody and they cannot visualize their outcome, they can't feel it, they can't get there, they just don't know what it is, mm-hmm. it is because they're clinging to the fear of losing the strategy. The tactic. They're holding on to the tactic. And when I'm in that fear of loss, I cannot be creative.
100%.
I cannot be creative from fear. And you need creativity and inspiration to be able to visualize something that you cannot perceive yet in the future.
Yes.
Yep. And that's neurology. That's neurology.
Literally
that's
what goes on in the brain.
That's literally what goes on. Yeah.
Everybody thinks like business is like this separate thing. It's a set of box of mechanics.
Somebody else's brain does.
Yeah. No. When you're in business, it's a different brain. No, it's the same fucking brain.
And you better fucking understand your brain. You better understand how that shit works.
Can I ask you to like, hearing tactics and strategy and blah, 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 it's all well and good, but can you give like a something practical so that it's easy to understand what we mean when we're saying a tactic? Like give me an example of a business maybe you've worked with or a business that that other people would know or whatever to explain, well, where they focus on the tactic and what the actual strategy was and how they turned it around or something.
Or how they fucked it up.
Yeah, or how they messed it up.
Have you
got any examples?
A blockbuster moment maybe.
Yeah, I can give you an example, but if you want more of a personal one, I was working with this girl that had a Pilates studio, and she could only see herself as a Pilates instructor. So if you do Pilates, then there's really one way in which you do, right? You get people to come to class, and you book as many people into that class, you deliver the class, and you try to get them to come back again. And she went into a bit of a lockdown, and she was trying to build, so then she was like, okay, so if I can't physically bring people into the room, how do I help them? So then she thought, well, I'll just teach online, except there were so many people teaching online and you weren't, you were just showing people how to do the thing at the video. Nobody's going to pay for that video. So she put all this money into this program and nobody was buying into it. And we sat down. And I said, so tell me what business you're in. She goes, I'm in the Pilates business. And I went, what business are you really in? And she goes, well, I don't understand what you mean. And I said, look, when somebody comes to your door, why do they come to you? And she said, to get toned. I said, is that the only reason they come to you? And she goes, no, some come to connect with other people. I said, so you're a connection business. You're in the toning business. I said, let's look at all the other ways in which I can meet those objectives. And let's look at the benefits and the downsides. So this is a practical activity anybody can do. And when she started to see what all the other ways of meeting that same objective are and what the upsides and the downsides were, she was able to start repositioning herself. Now, that didn't mean she was giving up on running Pilates studios, right? But it allowed her to create an online platform called Soul Flexible that met that thing. It had a community element to it. It was a bit of education, not just the Pilates class, but all the things that she could teach in becoming becoming more toned. One of the other objectives was she knew that Pilates helped people deal with pain. So people that didn't want to be on painkillers their whole life, because that's how she gotten into Pilates. Mm-hmm. I said, well, then become that alternative to taking medicine, like taking painkillers. You know, and once she really got that her business had these three objectives, she was able to deliver and rearrange what she was already doing in such a way that she was attracting the right client.
Mm-hmm. So the tactic in that situation was thinking that if a person has to come into the studio and I have to go out to that person in a particular way, advertise in a particular way, and then when that gets taken away, my whole business has disappeared, because the thing that I was knowing, the tactic I used, has totally fallen apart. Yeah. So then in those moments you've got to connect, preferably beforehand. But what she did was she connected to her reason.
Yeah.
And then she found other ways to get that same outcome.
Yeah, I'll give you one more example, because this one's so simple that people will hear it as tactical. And if they do, they've totally missed the point. I was working with an optometrist. So they had a franchise optometrist, and they were the high-end franchise. So they were more expensive than other people. And when they went into lockdown, you could go pick up your prescriptions, but you couldn't go in and get sold. So, mm-hmm. And everybody else was offering, like, you know, two pairs of glasses for $200. And I mean, a single pair of their glasses was $300.
Yeah.
Right. So they're like products. Now they're also a franchise, so they couldn't change any of their marketing. They were really kind of stuck. And one of the things is those are all tactics, you know, reducing price or coming up with new products or things. They're all tactics. And we went, well, what is the intent? What is it you really do? And we kind of sat down and we said, what is the objective of the person that comes in? Are they coming in because they love it? Is this a fashion industry thing? And we're like, well, no, not really. Most people that come to get glasses, they're not thrilled the first time they're there, because it's a sign they might be getting older, or it might be a sign that their physical looks are going to change. And so we went in, we really tried to work out with them, you know, what is it that they want to feel? Like, what is their real objective? And it's like, they want to be able to see again. They want to be able to take that next stage, but they don't want to lose their attractiveness. So they're apprehensive when they come in. And we went, really, they want to feel that they're still their attractive self, that mm-hmm. they're still young, they're still youthful. So we started to take their whole process, and we injected, for better wording, we basically taught them how to flirt.
Mm-hmm.
So that when that person comes in, we immediately, from an experience, start to make them feel attractive, young, you know,
right.
We're energetic, we're interested in them in every aspect.
Can I just say with that, before you continue, that's not like a fake thing. It was just something that they weren't thinking of. It was just like adding an element of conversation, knowing what the client was looking for as they came in.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. They got that the person, when they choose to get glasses, could go anywhere.
Yeah.
The reason they chose to come here is because we made them feel better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they walked in and they got that, and we really made that intentional and we put it into every part of the aspect, their sales shot up.
You know, when it's a funny thing. I always like to give the analogy when I'm working with people, with businesses. You know, when you have a reason, your reason becomes an ability, so you become reasonable. So, and then people find your product and your service reasonable. So they will, because you have a reason and you're able to broadcast that reason, it gives the other person the ability to purchase from you. Do you know what I mean? Because people think, oh, I've got a fucking money problem. No, you haven't. You've got a reason problem. You don't understand your why, your strategy and your tactics. You have to understand that stuff. So it becomes reasonable for people. So they no longer have. That's why in this case, make them reasonable and have people have a reason to come to you and buy your product and your service, be it glasses or whatever. as long as you have a reason and you're able to tweak that, make the client feel fantastic, then you have people have an ability to come to you. You become reasonable, so you're not worried about money anymore.
Yeah, value is just a reflection of value, right? Yeah. Money is just the reflection of value. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, otherwise, all from a matter standpoint, it's just a piece of paper with dead people on it. It's like there's nothing inherent about that. That's just a reflection of the value I give back. And so, like, if you're a top-end product or you're a low-end product, it's just an indication of the value you add back to the marketplace. So it's not something that stops people from buying. That's why I say you don't have a money problem or a pricing problem or a product problem. You have a failure to add value problem.
Yes, because if money is the value you give people, then in order to get more money, you have to give more value.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's like, well, how do I add more value? It's not about how do I get more money? It's how do I add more value? Because the value that I add is going to be rewarded in terms of the financial return.
In fact, when I'm fearful, I tend through my brain to do the opposite, don't I? I tend to remove stuff. Because I'm trying to save costs.
And then which is a fucking major, that is a major mistake.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope because I start adding less value to the marketplace and we start to go down that hill.
Yeah.
And so where I think I'm, that's why you see the people that are out there and they're the Six Sigma. And there is a place for Six Sigma. I'm not knocking it. But when you get the bean counters and they're just cutting costs out of your business, that is a slippery fucking slope.
Yep.
Make sure that is not your only way of dealing with cash flow.
Well, I
think we've said all the way along, you know, add value, add value, add value, add value.
Oh, that's one of the things that we...
Add value.
All the time.
Don't discount, add value.
And I think...
Because people will appreciate you more.
I think we do need to talk about the money thing. I know we haven't got to it this time because we did mention it last time. I think we might have to touch on it next time. But I think what I love when we have conversations around business and, you know, how you work in terms of business and how you see things in terms of business, I really love how much it aligns with what is going on and what we've been teaching for a million years now in terms of the individual person. And you mentioned it before. It actually doesn't – there's no difference. You're using the same brain in your personal life as you do in your business life. So if over here I'm talking to people about – you know, your mindset is the name of the game, baby. Well, then over here in business, it's no different. It's like your mindset is the name of the game.
Is just a magnifier on that.
Correct. Yes. Correct.
So if you're an asshole over here, you've got
a bigger asshole over here. But also then the mission thing, right? Is if we talk about it like over and over and over. But if you've got an outcome in your business, in your personal life, then you've got a long-term vision, then your money is sorted, everything else is sorted, you've got an outcome for yourself. It's exactly the same in business.
One of my favorite lines from Lewis Carroll is when Alice is standing there and she sees the Cheshire Cat for the first time and she's lost and she goes, so which way should I go? And he goes, well, where do you want to go? And she goes, anywhere. And then he goes, then it doesn't matter.
Mm.
And I think that's so brilliant because everybody sees the cat as the crazy one. I'm like, the cat is the only fucking smart one in the thing. And because that's people. Like, they're just trying to get away from where they are, but they haven't got a destination where they want to go.
Have you read Who Moved My Cheese?
No, I haven't.
Fuck, that's such a good book. It's so tiny and it's so small.
It's very cool.
But it's very good because it just talks about people going back to the same tactic. You know, where a rat... People will go, if you give leave the cheese there, and people will keep going back and getting the cheese. And then when you remove the cheese, people will keep going back to the same place, even though the cheese, every day they turn up, there's no fucking cheese. Yeah. And they won't go and look anywhere else, you know? Yeah. And it takes a certain sort of person and a certain sort of brain to go and look somewhere else.
I think we've all done that when looking for our keys. Just keep the same two spots. It's right here.
Yeah, I'm sure they were here.
And then somebody comes up and pulls them out of your pocket. You're like, these keys?
But I think just having the understanding that the outcome we're looking for is the same. And currently in our current climate, when we're thinking about the fact that something on the outside, right, really messed up. Really fucked up a lot of businesses in the sense that the tactics that people would normally use to get ahead, they could not actually access it. People are still going through that at the moment, right?
Absolutely.
They cannot access their business in the same way because they're relying on the tactics. So what piece of advice would you give to anybody in business that they're unsure about this whole tactic or strategy scenario and what they need to do to get themselves out of thinking that same
just,
way.
Just before you answer that question, you know, I think about when I walked in here after India and I'd got back, and I think Mills had got back about
2 days later.
2 days later, and I walked in and I was like, fuck, man, we're a face-to-face business. I wipe people's fucking noses.
You got to understand, we're in India and everything's fine. I'm in Singapore, everything's fine. We get back here and there's no fucking toilet paper. Everyone's told us about
and
it.
And you've just been in India for 3 weeks.
And we've just been in India.
And I'm blowing out my ass.
And everything has... We literally walked into a scene from fucking... I have no idea. Like it was not like that internationally. When we walked in here, it was like, what the fuck? Like, honestly, everybody had changed. So it was like, what do we do? We're a face-to-face business. What? Where to from here?
But
like,
I think just if you can, I don't know, you're going to answer it the way you're going to answer it. But that question that you asked me that day in our seminar room was a fucking important question. It was a very, very important question. And I think it's one of the questions that anybody who still keeps going back to the same place looking for the cheese needs to ask themselves.
Yeah. So I think like the question you asked me was, what do we do? And I went, that's the wrong question. Because that's the how question. Uh-huh. It's like, how do we get what was happening before back when we can't have it?
Yeah.
And the reason you're stuck is because that's an unanswerable question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're stuck. So the question I wanted to ask back was, well, do you think what we do is still important? What is it that we really do for people? Because we don't put on seminars. We do something else. Mm-hmm. And when we got clear with what that is, I went, okay, so how can we do that today? Because we don't have a business problem. Our business is really this. We don't have a business problem. We have a distribution problem.
Yes.
We're unable to give people what they need. So now, facing what we have today.
In the same way.
Yeah, in the same way. So facing what we're facing today, the reality of today, and I think that's also important, is often when you get in the mindset and the pump-up conversations, mm-hmm. they kind of don't deal with the reality of now. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to look and go, from the reality of where we sit right now, how do we get them that service? And then like, what do they still have access to? Well, they still had access to online. They still mm-hmm. had access. They had more time than they'd had previously. The message had to change. People were more fearful. People stopped thinking that 2020 was going to be the decade of their lives. And they started thinking, how am I going to get through the next week? So we had to change the messaging and how we put it all around. But we got back on purpose. Mm-hmm. And when you're on purpose, you can find a way. In that moment where you get really clear that, oh my God, this is what I do, and people really need that, you're creative. Mm-hmm. And you can move because you've let go of what's back there. Mm-hmm. And that was the metaphor I kind of wanted to end on, is I nearly drowned once in a, because I don't swim very well. we were doing whitewater rafting.
Christmas.
Yeah, we were doing whitewater rafting, and I was so scared of falling out of the boat. And one of the tactics they give you is they've got the, I call it the only shit line that goes around the outside of the raft. And they're like, if you don't want to fall in the boat, make sure you hold on to this raft. Well, as we're going down this waterfall, we hit like a hydraulic where there was two converging waves at the bottom. Mm. And the front of the boat hit this and it started to just go straight down. Like it was just going straight down. And I didn't want to fall out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I didn't want to fall out of the boat. That was my tactic. Do not fall out of the boat. My strategy is I'm going to grip this fucking thing, even though the boat's going right to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, divine inspiration, whatever you want to call, I went, look, my tactic is I don't want to fall out of the boat. My mission is I don't want to drown.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't let go of this fucking rope, I'm going to drown.
Yeah.
And the minute I was able to let go of my tactic, I floated to the top and the boat came up underneath me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool. Just such a cool... Yeah, it was just such a cool like little metaphor for what happens in business.
But that's actually, that's a really good place to end. That was good. That's really cool. Good. So tactics and strategy, that was great. What was our song?
She was a skater girl, I said see
it's
you
a boy.
Later. Oh, he was a skater boy, I said see you later, boy.
Oh my goodness.
That's my American accent.
It sounds a lot like your
Canadian, sorry. Well, I don't know what the difference is.
None of your accents actually sound different when you really listen to them. Thanks, Mike, for joining us again. Woohoo!
Thank you, guys.
Okay, if you're looking to bulletproof your business, here at MJB Seminars, we have the tools and strategies to supercharge your profits and stop you from becoming one of the 97% of organizations that fail within the first 10 years.
So you can learn more about this truly unique system by liking and following us at MJB Seminars over on Instagram and Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to Dorothy and the Dealer podcast so you never miss a business episode again.
Registrations for our business course are by application, and you can express your interest by emailing evolve@mjbseminars.com.au.